Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your spirit here, moving in this place and moving on our hearts. We ask right now, Lord, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understandings would be enlightened and we would know the hope of your calling, the glorious inheritance that you have for us, your saints, your children, your called out ones. And we love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to look with me at Colossians 3:10, please. Colossians 3:10. I don't know about you, but this morning I got up and I went outside and there wasn't any smoke and there was a cool breeze and it felt like the first day of fall and I thought, I love this. And then the bees started. And I said, it's not fall enough. Colossians 3:10 says, let's start in verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Take off the old man. We put off the old man and we put on the new man that is created in the image of our Creator. We're to take off whoever it was you were before you came to him. We take off and we put on the new man. We talked in communion this morning that we've been given this new life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through the breaking of his body. We've been given a new start. I have a fresh start. March 29th, 1996, I walked into that little four-square church in Orchid, California. And I was sick. I didn't want to be there. My mom and dad dragged me there. They didn't drug me there because that's the improper use of the word drag. They dragged me there because otherwise then I say they drugged me there. And that's an occult. We don't do that. They took me to this church. We stopped at the drugstore on the way there. Bought all kinds of cold and allergy medications and cough drops. And we're sitting there. And we're there for about an hour and a half. And my mom says, people are starting to leave. And it's a worship service and prayer time. And she says, we're not leaving until you go forward for prayer. And I said, well, I don't want to stay here all night. So I went forward for prayer. You know, I didn't have an agenda going up there for prayer. So I said, I walked up to my parents' pastor and I said, my mom said, we're not leaving until I come forward for prayer. And he said, okay, well, what do you want prayer for? And I said, well, I'm sick. You could pray for that. And so he started praying for me. And pretty soon, a couple of other people are there standing around me praying for me. I wasn't serving the Lord. I was running so hard from Jesus. But that night, these people are praying for me. And I'm just standing there, and I don't know any better. I don't know any different. I'm just standing there with my arms up. And it was like fire came rushing up from down inside of me and consumed everything. And then water came flushing through me. And I began to speak in tongues. So I wasn't serving Jesus. I hadn't served Jesus since I was a kid. I was brought up in church. I was Pioneer of the Year, 1976, for my Royal Ranger Troop at our Assembly of God Church. But I had moved so far away from him. There was nothing in my life that resembled. I was with Shirley MacLaine, if it helps. I was out on a limb with her. And she said she went out on the beach and she proclaimed out loud and said, I am God. You know, I could not make myself do that. But I was a follower. I had gotten involved in the occult and witchcraft, the real kind, not bewitched and I dream of genie kind. But as that fire came up through me, and then the water came down through me, and I wasn't, listen, I'd never experienced anything charismatic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost before. It was all new to me. I didn't even know what to think about it. We went outside, and we're getting in the car. I said, I'm not sick. I wasn't sick anymore. And we went home, and the next day, my dad's working out in the yard, and so I'm out there, and I've got a cup of coffee and my cigarette, because like I said, I'm saved and filled with the Spirit now, but I'm having to put on some things and take off some things still. Just because we get saved, we talked about this last week, the process. Just because we get saved doesn't mean we're suddenly perfect. And just because we're saved for 30 years doesn't mean we're mature. And just because I can speak in tongues doesn't mean I'm walking in love. It's a process. All of it's a process. So I'm outside and I'm smoking a cigarette and I'm drinking my coffee and I'm just looking up and I'm telling you, it's like being up here after the rain and everything is so clear and everything was just beautiful. I had never noticed how beautiful everything was. And I'm out there and I'm praying in tongues because I'd never really prayed in tongues before. And I'm laughing. And my parents, it's almost like watching them from inside behind the curtains watching. What's he up to now? It's the truth. They thought it was another scam because that's how many times I'd pulled a scam on them. They thought it was a scam. Then I went to Teen Challenge because, like I said, I had to put off some stuff. And I had to put on some stuff. And we went to Teen Challenge. And it was about an hour from the house. I smoked a half a pack of cigarettes in the car on the way there. We got there at 2:30, did my induction. They brought me in, gave me a bed. I wasn't high on crack or anything at the time. So I didn't have to go through all of that withdrawal room thing that they have for the guys that are on heroin that are coming off. Got myself situated in my bed. Then it was dinner time. Went to the kitchen. Had dinner. Went outside, took my Bible, sat on a bench. It's Bakersfield. It's May. It's nice. It's beautiful. It's spring. It's not summer yet where it's unbearable. And I'm sitting at that table, and I open up my Bible. This little voice on the inside of me says, I want you to notice that you don't have a craving for cigarettes. And I didn't. I was smoking a pack and a half some days. God completely delivered me. You say God doesn't work miracles? Yes, he does. Why did I go to Teen Challenge? Because my parents wanted me to. I was obedient. I was following after what they wanted me to do. And I did it. Graduated on Mother's Day, 1997. This lovely thing who decided to start dating me while I was in Teen Challenge. Because God had told her, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Against her parents' better wishes. Because, you know, she was a good girl. She was a good girl. She never did anything wrong after she, you know, got over her alcohol addiction at 5 years old. It's true. But I'm in the process. I'm putting on... Oh, you want to know, don't you? It's not like a Drew Barrymore thing. It's more like a, you know, her parents had gone to bed and the family had been there and it was a Mexican fiesta. So she's half Mexican, and if you've met her parents, Mama's this big, and she's just, I mean, you can't deny she's Mexican. Daddy's this tall, and he's a big old white gringo from Louisiana. Okay? There's a foot of height difference between them. It was this party, and she found the beers, and she's, oh, that was the, well, there were the two different times. There was the time where she woke her parents up, and they want to hear the stories.
Well, I'm not sure which one came first, but the first, there, you have to understand, that all my cousins, there's four of us, we were the three little rascals, and we were 6 months apart. And they had a fiesta on the ranch, and they lost track of the little kids. And the little kids found Wilito's, my grandfather's, table wine, which is the gallon of Gallo table wine. We drank it with shot glasses. We were drunk as skunks. My poor tia, she's all, what do I do with the kids? I can't take them to the hospital. He goes, give them a cold bath and put them to bed. And we got up the next morning. We're totally fine. No problem. No hangers. We were five and under, and we were all 6 months apart. So we were all little kids. I told you. He just told you. I got my drunkenness out of the way real early. And then the other one, it was over and done with then. And then my dad threw a party for my mom, and they, because they drank so much, I guess, the night before, they fell asleep. And I woke up, and there was like two packs of beer in there. And so I would always opening up and drinking them, opening up till my little finger was red, and I couldn't open another can. So I don't know how many I opened. And then I went to my mom and dad and said, could you open this for me? Needless to say, they didn't open it for me.
Come on. We're all just real people, right? We're all just real people. We've all been through stuff. We've all had stuff happen to us, right? Our first pastor, when we got married, they had gone up to Toronto to the Father's Blessing up there, the Father's Day outpouring. And they had gone up there to the Toronto Blessing. And she was raised in church. And she's there, and she's kind of almost in a, kind of a trance, she said. She says she's almost in a trance. And she saw this Jesus that she'd always seen. And it cracked and broke apart. He said, I am not a statue. I am real. And for the first time, listen, she, all of her life raised in church, pastor's wife now. She has this revelation, realization, that Jesus isn't some statue. He's not somebody that used to be. But he's a real, active, living, loving God who wants to have relationship with us. And so as his people, we have to put off some things. We've got layers of things that we're in the process of shedding. And every day, we have to take one of those layers off and say, I can't do that anymore. And it may not even be a sin, you know, none of the, you know, top 10 big ones. You know what I'm saying? Come on. We all have our pet peeve sin. Oh, I can't believe, you know, such and so was doing that or so and so was doing that. Come on. It's all transgression against God. It's all transgression against God. Gluttony is a transgression against God. Come on. There are so many things, and God wants us to shed off the things that are hindering our relationship with him, and he wants us to put on the new man made in his image. Put on the new man. Well, let's get to my message. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 29. So you're not the first people to have to go through. We're not the first people. I'm not the first person to have to go through making some choices, putting off some stuff, and putting on some stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, this is God. I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you shall hearken or listen unto the commandments of Jehovah, your God, which I command you this day. And the curse, if you shall not hearken or obey the commandments of Jehovah, your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which you have not known. And it shall come to pass when Jehovah thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt set the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Was it last week when we're in worship and I had that word that God says, you are on the mountain. You speak from the mountain. You command forth the word from the mountain. God is going to take his people. Who are his people? We are. We're his people. He is putting on one mountain the curse and another mountain the blessing. And you stand on the mountain that you want to partake in. You want to partake in the blessing. Then you're going to have to start signing up and lining up. We have to line up with the word of God. We say, well, how come this isn't happening for me? How come, you know, this person over here, everything seems to be going. Have you seen their life? The person who's always in the blessing is somebody who's always obedient to what God is telling them. They're always obedient. When God says, go do this, they go do it. Obedience. First John, the apostle, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, who as Deb was talking about, that would lean against Jesus so he could be closer to him, not in a perverted way. Because there are people out there who try to pervert that. But this is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Why does he say that? Because John knew that Jesus loved him. He knew it. There was no doubt in his heart that Jesus loved him. What does John say? In 1 John, he said, we know we love him because we keep his commandments. We know we love him. I know he loves me. He spins around wildly in anticipation over me, at the very thought of me. He sent Jesus to die for me. That's how I know he loves me. But how do I know I love him? Because I obey him. Because I keep his teachings. And I covet them close to me. Why? Because I want to stay as close to him as I can get. He said, James said, if you will draw near to him, he will draw near to you. I have to put off my old stinking way of thinking and put on his way of thinking. I have to put off my way of being right. Do you know how many people are going to go to hell saying, but I'm a good person? Being a good person won't get you to heaven. I'm not always a good person. I depend completely on Jesus. Jesus said, in that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we raise the dead? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, for I never knew you. That terrifies me, but in a good way, because I don't want to be lawless. What is lawless? It means not having or keeping the law of God, not keeping the commands of God. This is Jesus talking about in the day when he returns. That day is now, where it's so... People say, well, we're not under the law. I'm not under the law unless I speed and get caught. Until then, I'm keeping the law. If I'm going 65, I'm keeping the law. I'm good, aren't I? I'm keeping the law. I'm going 65 on the freeway. If the speed limit is 65, if I'm going 70, 75, and I get pulled over, now I'm under the condemnation of the law. We're not under the condemnation of the law because we have the law of God in our hearts. He said, I'm gonna put my law and my commands in their hearts, and then they'll obey me. Because you don't want to steal, do you? You don't want to lie. You don't want to murder. You don't want to do those things sometimes. But we don't follow through on it, do we? He says, if we'll keep his commandments, and he's telling this to his people, God's people. We're God's people. Paul writes, he says, we've been grafted into Israel. Who are you? You're Israel. You're grafted in. You've been translated from darkness as being a person without a covenant with God and put into light so that you now have covenant with God because the blood of Jesus, because there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. There's no covenant made without the shedding of blood. God came to Abraham, and he said, get these animals, and he split them in half, and then he put Abraham in a trance because he knew he was the only one capable of making the covenant and keeping it. And he walked through the middle of the blood of those sacrificed animals because he knew he could keep the covenant. He told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and take him up onto the mountain and sacrifice him. Abraham didn't bat an eyelash. It's like faith. She was 3 days old, 13 ounces. Went up to see her in the NIC unit. Kathy's in the hospital. The doctor said she's not going to make it through the night. There she's back there with her phone in her face. Oh, she's got me on. Oh, Lord, she's videotaping me. The doctor said she's not going to make it through the night. I went down and I told Kathy. And she said, I'm not losing this child. She said, if she dies, I will go up there and I will raise her from the dead. She had no doubt that Faith was going to live. 13 ounces, 25 weeks. Abraham waited 30 years, 25 years, to have a son. His son is now a teenage boy, about 12, 13 years old. God says, take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him for me. Because he knew that if he did what he was told, God was able and he would raise his son back from the dead, because he knew that God made the promise that in your seed all nations will be blessed. Faith. Abraham had a lot to overcome, didn't he? He had to constantly be putting off the old man. The one who said, oh no, Pharaoh, she's not my wife, she's just my sister. Go ahead, you can have her. Why? So he could save his own butt. God appeared to Pharaoh in a dream and said, she's not his sister, she's his wife, and don't you take her. Pharaoh got very mad at Abraham, didn't he? Abraham, Sarah, because they're still learning to put off and to put on. We haven't got a son yet. Abraham, you go sleep with my servant, Hagar. Okay. Come on, don't do that. Becomes a real mess. They had to learn the hard way. The New Testament scriptures tell us that these things are written for our admonition. Why? Because sometimes it's better to learn from someone else's mistakes than to have to make them yourself. I've worked in churches for years, worked directly with pastors. Do you know the most important lessons I ever learned working in churches, working for pastors, was not what to do, but what not to do. Because if I can know what not to do, then we're halfway there. Because then I just have to hear from God. What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to be? Because I know what not to do. That's part of the process. You got to be patient with me. I got to be patient with you. I got to love you. I got to walk in love with you. Because sometimes you're not exactly where I think you should be. Then I have to slap myself and remind myself, I'm not exactly where I want to be. I like Kim, my friend Kimberly. She posted yesterday, she said, don't be grudgmental. Is that amazing? Don't be grudgmental. Hold a grudge against someone else, hold a grudge against yourself. Get over it. Come on, we're all in process of putting off the old and putting on the new. God told his people to obey his commandments. He says, if we disobey, we have the curse. If we obey, we have the blessing. What do you want? I want the blessing. I want God to bless my life. I want my life to be blessed. Because when he blesses me, I can say, I only have it because I obey him. I only have this blessed life because I obey him. I can't say, I worked really hard and got it on my own. I got it because he blessed me. Because I've been obedient to him. What is the blessing? It's a prosperous life. It's blessed at home. You can go on and you can read it. He said, you'll be blessed in the field, blessed in the barn, blessed in the house, blessed in the work. Come on, every place where you go, if you're obedient to him, will be blessed. But we've got to put off the natural way. We have to put on God's way. Because when we walk in his way, when we walk in his commandments, when we follow his teachings, then the blessing, you know, it actually says that the blessing will come up on you and overtake you. Literally, it will come upon you and overtake you. Listen, I'm not even preaching from my notes today. I got up this morning, I didn't like my message. Can there be a blessing apart from obedience to God's word? Can there be blessing from God apart from his word? No. According to God, no. Apart from his word, we're under the curse. Well, how come bad things happen? Because, honey, there's a curse in this world brought on by Adam and Eve because they believed a lie. They believed that they weren't already like God, knowing good and evil. They knew. They were like God. He created them in his image, in his likeness. Did you know that? We're created in his image, in his likeness. We're speaking spirits just like he is. We have the ability to speak into a situation and change it. You spoke it. The biggest change you ever spoke into existence in your life was when you said, yes, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That changed your destiny. Come on, just like Waymaker. He's changing destinies, rearranging destinies. That's who he is. He can take a bad situation and change it. Why? Because we're obedient to him and we're listening to him and we're following his instructions. And we're doing what we know he wants us to do. Each of us has taking off and putting on to do. This morning, every single one of you, I would hesitate to guess, got up, took off your sleep clothes, took a shower, put on new clothes. Every day, we get up, we put off those desires. I don't want to go to church today. I just want to sleep in. And we roll out of bed, put our feet on the floor, and we start moving towards him in everything we do. When we do that, we're following him. I want to live and desire to live in the blessing of God every day. I want my life. You know, scripture says, Paul says, he says, that by the blessing that's on us, we'll make others jealous for God. I want other people to be jealous of my relationship with God. I want them to want that. I want them to want the better life. You may not like Joel Osteen. You may think, well, he's got all that money. He's got that big house. You know, so what? He's blessed. He holds meetings where thousands of people get saved. He doesn't take a salary from the church. His income is purely from his books. Come on. My daughter listens to him. I mean, what are you doing? She's got YouTube on watching Joel Osteen. What is that going to do for her? Who's the most positive, uplifting person in the entire world? It's Joel Osteen. Man, I'm telling you what, he just smiles and he says, well, I just know that God's going to take your situation and he's going to turn it around. Let's believe, and I'm going to show you some scriptures to tell you why I believe that. Come on. He gets so much persecution for being such a nice guy. Right? Jesus. What would Jesus do? Well, he's going to walk in love. Jesus was positive, wasn't he? Woman caught in adultery. The very act. Where's the man? We'll get to that some other time. Jesus said, where are your accusers? Go and sin no more. Woman with an issue of blood. Virtue flowed out of him. Who touched me? It was me. I'd heard about you. Is he changing lives? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were created in the image of God. And as they were created in the image of God, they knew right from wrong. Did you know that? It's right to do all of these things. It's wrong to do this one thing. They had the garden. They had fellowship with God. They had fellowship, relationship with their Heavenly Father. They knew. Come on. Satan says, don't you know that if you eat of this tree, then you'll be like God, knowing good and evil? They already did. They believed a lie. They believed a lie. They thought that God was holding out on them. God was not holding out on them. What is the difference between good and evil? Being obedient to God. As long as they were obedient to God, come on, as long as they were obedient to God, they had relationship with him. They had the garden. They could tend all the trees. I love gardening. For me, standing outside with a hose, watering something, planting something in the earth, I love that. One of the biggest reasons, this is off subject, but one of the biggest reasons we have so many wildfires right now is because of improper management of the forests. They're not properly forested. And the wildfires just spread like crazy. If they were tended to. I've said this before. Who should be the biggest green people in the world? Christians. That's the original mandate from God, is to tend to the garden, take care of the planet. He said that. That's the original mandate. Then he gave him a wife. He gave him a wife. He said, now you tell her, teach her. You guys tend the garden together. You take care of, and remember, this is good, that's bad. That's right. Do you know God didn't make a big deal out of that? I love you. He just said, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. Obedience. They knew not to eat of the tree. And the moment they did, their eyes were opened and they could now see what they had done was wrong. And they hid from God. They put off the righteous man and put on the unrighteous man. We're in the process of putting off that unrighteous man that does what it wants to, when it wants to, how it wants to, and putting on the new man who now has this new set, these new teachings and new instruction. And you know, they're really very easy. Even Jesus said, my commandments are not burdensome. It's not burdensome not to kill somebody. It's not burdensome to put God first. That's not a burden. All the other stuff that gets added on to it by man trying to make it easier for everybody. Like no straws. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? They chose a lie. They chose a lie instead of the truth. They chose to believe outside of what God had told them. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that as we behold ourselves in the Word of God, what that means is when you look in the mirror in the morning after you take your shower and you comb your hair and you put on your makeup and you check yourself, how do I look? When we look into the Word of God and adjust ourselves to Him, when we behold ourselves in the Word of God, because God says in His Word, you have this destiny, not that destiny. You don't have to have the destiny that your parents, Adam and Eve, brought for you. There's another destiny. He said, as you behold yourself in the mirror of God's Word and you adjust yourself, come on, because this is about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. As I put on the new man, how do I do that? Through His Word. I get His Word and I adjust myself. Am I really syncing up with when He says to walk in love with others? What does that really mean to walk in love? That means to put other people first. Others first, me second. When it comes, He says to prefer one another. To prefer others. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word today and Your Spirit. Jesus, we want to be more like You. What would You do, Jesus? How would You handle the situation, Lord? You're Lord. You're Lord. You know, sometimes we because we have this free political environment where we can elect the people that we like. Come on. We can elect the people we like. We're not part of a monarchy where there's a king and a rulership. Jesus is king. What He says goes. What He says, we do. Because He's king. He's Lord. Jesus, we love You. And we I contend for myself. I can't speak for everybody else here. But for myself, Jesus, I'm putting off the old man. And every person here who's putting off the old man and putting on the new man that's created in the image of God, see our hearts here today, Lord, and help us. Help us to make the right choices. Help us to make the right decisions. Help us to follow after you. Help us to draw closer to you. Help me to draw closer to you so that you'll draw closer to me. And Jesus, just as you prayed, and as we read it in the 17th chapter of John, that we will become one with you, and you are one with us, and we're one with the Father, and he's one with us, and we're one with each other as we're one with you, to help us to put on that nature of love, that nature of righteousness, that nature of obedience to you. And Father, we just lift up every person here today. If they're in need of a job or a better job, if they need bonuses or increases, I just speak jobs, sales, bonuses, increases. Where there's need for healing, Father, I command muscles to be made new, bone to be restored, minds to be made whole, hearts to be healed. Father, you said that you had anointed Jesus to heal. Jesus, as you're here today, and I speak the name Jesus, may there be healing in this place today. Restoration. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.